just look at me. Yeah. Oh, just look at me. Ain't I a sight to see? The whole damn world wants to look like me, but they don't. So just look at me. Unlike you, I've been around the world. And unlike you, I've had my way with many, many girls. Every morning they say the same damn thing. How can you be so good at everything? And I say, it's just so easy for me. It's just so easy.
And we're back. This is episode 18 of the Kings of the Ring podcast. It's been a while, hasn't it, MB?
It's been a while. We've been so busy, both of us, haven't we? So it's been tough to get something done.
Yeah, absolutely crazy summer for the pair of us, really. But yeah, I mean, in the time that we've been gone, I've got a damn off Ron Simmons. That's like probably a highlight for me.
And, highlight of your life.
Like, yeah. And we're looking forward to doing this. This is sort of more like a reintroduction for the pair of us because we haven't done one in however many months now.
Just a little chat about what's going on, what we've missed, what's happening, and then we'll get back rolling with the wrestlers.
Yeah, exactly. In which the next one we've got a big one planned. Or we think it's a big one anyway. It should be an entertaining show, that one. But obviously, just from the beginning, I'm John Cooper.
I'm Steve Emerson.
And obviously, you can follow us on Twitter at KOTR Podcast. And I think that's about it. We haven't really got any other social media.
Yeah, there's no room. The Facebook's rubbish, isn't it?
Yeah.
Facebook is a dying generation.
Facebook is a dying generation, absolutely.
It's all about Twitter. follow us on Twitter. We're both on there pretty regularly chatting about what's going on and giving our views. So give us a tweet and we'll always chat.
Yeah, definitely. I've had some debates over this summer. Obviously, catch us on that. If you listen, you like, leave us a review. If you don't like, leave us a review. Like, we're always interested to hear what people think. I don't think there's probably a better place to start at the moment than obviously what happened Wednesday at NXT, really.
I mean, since we've been chatting, I mean, what was our last episode? Can you remember?
Wrestle Fights was our last
Wrestle
one.
Wrestle Fights with Marcus, yeah, and that was obviously of wrestlers that we... One of the questions in that, it was of wrestlers that we'd like to see come into the company.
Yeah.
Out from outside. James Storm.
James Storm, I think, is a blinding signing, and one I didn't see it coming.
I'd heard rumours about it, and he'd been quite cagey about it when he spoke to Jim Ross on his podcast a little while ago.
Yeah.
It wasn't out of the blue for me.
Yeah.
I was quite surprised the way they debuted him. They didn't make a big deal of it.
No.
Taping, which obviously will be shown on an NXT show soon.
Yeah.
But obviously, yeah, pretty unannounced. So that was pretty cool. I mean, I like him. I think he's a great worker. I think what he's got going for him is he's great on the mic.
Yeah.
And I think being a veteran like he is, he's going to be used in a similar way to what Joe is. I don't think there's ever going to be a main roster spot for James Storm, personally.
No, I thought the exact same thing when he signed. I thought, I can't imagine him being on the main roster, but he could. He's ideal for NXT because there's obviously a lot of young guys that are coming up who probably were watching TNA as an alternative 10 years ago sort of thing and sort of can look at him and think, oh, I've got a chance to work with James Storm and have a good match with him, and he can help me get to where I want to go. Basically, yeah, exactly like you say, like what Samoa Joe's done with Baron Corbin over the last couple of months.
Yeah, I mean, we'll get on to Corbin in a minute because we've got quite a bit to say about him. I just think NXT now is an attractive prospect for veterans to come and work because they're going to be working with the best talent in the best facility with the best coverage.
Yeah.
And still be able to go out. I mean, obviously, because Joe's got a deal, I assume James Storm might even have a similar deal where he's able to go and work his own independent shows anyway. So.
Yeah, I mean, I think Joe's contract has been. He's got a new contract now, basically. It only came into force around the Brooklyn pay per view that was on a couple of months ago. But basically, because of his debut, when he came in, the Samoa Joe's shirts they had on sale just sold out within like a couple of days, basically.
They'll be stupid to not push Joe to the main roster.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
You can get a 2-3-4 year run out of Joe on the main roster. It would be insane for them not to utilise him. But yeah. We'll see.
Yeah. I mean, the other thing as well, I kind of thought with James Storm coming to WWE, is that TNA must be in very, very rough shape.
Yeah. I mean, he's always been a mainstay in TNA, and he's always been happy to stay there. Never really any grumbles about him wanting to leave. I agree with you. I think TNA is on its last legs.
Yeah, I think I tweeted the other day I'd give it 18 months until it goes out of business, I think.
Yeah, with Global Force Wrestling, with Ring of Honor, with lots of different... there's lots of different independent companies that are really starting to get some traction that... TNA just isn't the right alternative anymore.
Nah.
It's not what people enjoy. It's just run its course. They need to just... If Dixie Carter still wants to be involved in wrestling, go away, restart. Start a new brand. Start a completely new thing.
Yeah. No, I agree. I think TNA is just dead in the water. I mean, January Kurt Angle's out of contract. Not thinking that he's going to come to WWE necessarily, but...
I'd love to see him in a rumble spot. Yeah. That'd be phenomenal. Even if, the only problem is, like Bubba did, Bubba come in last rumble, had a little flurry, and then got eliminated.
Yeah.
I'm not sure Kurt will be happy
to do that.
Coming in, getting a little bit of a spurt, and then getting chucked out by someone. Unless it's an up and comer that he's happy to put over, because I think Kurt's happy to put over young stars.
Yeah.
So if the booking's right, you might see him have a rumble spot. I personally can't ever see him being cleared to have another match in WWE. Like a full match.
No, and to be honest, even if he was cleared, I'd only really want to see the one more match, really. I've got no interest in seeing a long run with him anymore. I don't think he's got anything else left to give. Give, basically. Like, the landscape's changed. His neck is so fucked. It's just a risk, like, to do it, and I wouldn't want to see him in a wheelchair because he...
He's one of our heroes. So.
Exactly. But yeah, I mean, obviously the NXT Live special this week, really good show, actually, from start to finish. Like, a lot of them, the first half hour, 45 minutes can be quite, like, paint by numbers, but I really enjoyed this show from start to finish.
I enjoyed the Brooklyn one more,
yeah,
I must say.
Yeah.
But I enjoyed this... almost as much.
Mm.
I was saying to a friend of mine, Jim, obviously you know Jim, but yeah, a friend of mine, Jim, who is a wrestling fan that will watch the main stuff.
Yeah.
But he's not a real massive wrestling fan that he'll watch NXT, he'll watch everything that he has to offer like we would.
Yeah.
And I spoke to him about NXT and he said he'd heard lots, and he'd obviously seen the people come up from the roster. Now, I find his opinion, I find that very interesting.
Yeah.
He hasn't been tempted into NXT yet.
Mm.
Now, he doesn't have the network.
Yeah.
Which obviously is one way how you're not going to be tempted. But I think it just shows that they haven't quite got to everyone yet, the WWE, especially for the network and for NXT. And I told him to watch the last five takeovers.
Yeah.
Because they're all better shows than I've seen on the main roster, really. I think only SummerSlam, because I really enjoyed SummerSlam.
Yeah.
Apart from SummerSlam, WWE haven't put on a great pay-per-view like the takeovers for months.
I mean, like you sort of said, speaking of Jim Nixon sort of thing, like my brother, obviously, I used to grow up watching it with him and he hasn't watched it for years. And now, basically, he's got with a girl who's got two kids and they're into wrestling. And they, just like Jim, they just watch the main roster. And obviously, when I told him I'd book tickets to go see NXT, he was like, what's NXT? And I was like, that's the one you need to watch. Like I said, because I said, not that there's anything against the main roster as such, but For the reasons that we all turned on the TV one day and watched wrestling and got hooked to it, I feel you're going to get that more nowadays from the NXT product than you will the main roster product.
I think age-wise you would.
Yes.
I think for youngsters, for kids, I think the main roster is still going to be the place to be.
Yeah, definitely.
NXT, because the characters are built more in NXT in a wrestling way.
Yeah.
Whereas on the main roster, they're built in a TV way. So
in an entertainment way, isn't it?
Exactly that. Which makes for a good... What it does brilliantly, and I think that Triple H is an absolute genius with this, is that he is making sure he's going to keep long-term fans watching the main product forever, really. Because what he's done is he's made NXT adult, and also kids can watch it. I'm not just saying it's strictly adult.
Yeah.
But wrestling fans watch NXT and get invested in characters because the characters are built in the proper way.
Yes.
They then go on to the main roster, and we're all interested in watching them on the main roster. I know for a fact, for me personally, the main people that I look to watch on the main roster at the moment are Kevin Owens, Rollins, and probably, I like Ambrose, so probably Ambrose.
Yeah.
Like the three of them. And they're all NXT products.
Yeah. I mean, obviously that.
Owens more recently than the other two. But like, and when Sami Zayn comes back, I'm going to be very interested in his run on the main roster. So he's taking adults that want to watch wrestling still and making them more interested and more invested in the main product.
Completely. I think, like, the other thing as well, like me and Marcus were saying on a bit of a side note, where you were saying about Sami Zayn coming back. I said to Marcus, I don't think he'll come back to NXT. I think he'll go straight to the main roster.
100%.
And obviously there's all this talk about, obviously, Cena has elevated the US title this year, which he has, but the US title hasn't been that elevated. This is obviously health permitting here, but if you had Kevin Owens in the Rumble quite early on, clears house a bit, then Sami Zayn comes in, and, you know, like the old school way, comes, they both get eliminated, they have a bit of a tear-up, and then you build towards a match for the IC title, which would culminate at, like, you'd have their match, whatever the February pay-per-view will be, which would probably be something stupid like Fastlane or whatever it is again. And then, I don't know, Owens gets himself DQ'd, so he holds onto the title, and then you just have the match at Mania where Sami Zayn finally beats him. It'd be really interesting to see them go from an NXT storyline and carry it to the main roster to finish it. I think that'd be really interesting if they'd done that, whether they do or not, obviously.
I completely agree. I mean, you've got to be sensible about it from their booking side of it. And I think Triple H is getting more of the pull on the main roster. So you're going to find that the NXT storylines he knows that work are going to be transferred onto the main roster. So, I mean, we'll go off on a bit of a tangent, but the actual show itself, I mean, what were your standout
points?
I mean, let's start at the beginning. What was the first match? It was the first tag, wasn't it?
It was Dalton versus Balor and Samoa Joe.
What are you thinking about tag team wrestling at the moment? Because I've got some thoughts on this.
See, so it's really strange because, like, I personally thought that was a good tournament the way I watched it. Like, and I thought there was a lot better tag matches I've seen in recent weeks than what I've seen in recent years, for example, in any of wrestling, really. But some people grumbled about the fact that you had four singles wrestlers in the final. I kind of was with it, but then on the other side of things, I thought with the ending of the tournament, it made logical sense for the two people that won it to win it.
I'm not against having four singles wrestlers in because I think that the tag teams are going to be able to put each other over for the belts, for the tag team belts.
Yeah.
I completely agree that if for example the tag team titles were on the line in that tournament, it makes no sense to have the four singles competitors win it.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. But tag team, let's put it this way, right?
Mm.
If you go back in any era and you had the champion and another top draw superstar faced a quality tag team on Raw or anything like that, the two singles competitors are going to win.
Yeah.
If Austin and Undertaker faced off against Edge and Christian, as much as Edge and Christian are one of the greatest tag teams of all time, Austin and Undertaker are going to win.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, well, that happened, didn't it? Rock and Undertaker beat Edge and Christian for the tag titles
Exactly. So what you got to remember is that singles wrestlers are always going to be built to be better. So if, for example, them four singles wrestlers got knocked out by Dasha Dawson or even Gable and Jordan or whoever, that's gonna look bad on them. Because they're beaten by, okay, you could sell it as being a great tag team that works well together as beating two individuals. But the fact is that Balor and Joe are faces, so they're not going to turn against each other. They're not going to argue. They're not going to have dissension, which may cause them to lose.
Yeah.
Because that's the only way you can really put the tag team over, is have the two faces or heels go against each other.
Yeah.
And not work together as a team. My personal opinion is that I liked the booking of the final. I thought the final was the right four people.
Yeah, I think, logical sense. Obviously, at first I was like, it would be nice for two tag teams so one of them gets elevated. But everything you said there is like, it's actually full on bang on point. The other thing as well, and it's something wrestling fans really, really forget these days, is Dash and Dawson have got a rub by being in the ring with Balor and Joe.
And pushing them to the limit.
Yes. And Jordan and Gable, they're stars now. Like, that crowd reaction throughout that match, like, Gable's, like, underdog fighting from the bottom. Like, that fucking roll through German suplex he done.
Phenomenal. Gable is fast becoming my favourite NXT superstar.
Exact same. I love him.
He's got the complete opposite to what Kurt Angle had.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? They're both very similar. Obviously, their upbringings is similar, and obviously, everyone's going to put the parallels. But what they have, they've got polar opposite personalities.
Yeah.
In the way that you're drawn to want Gable to do well, but you wanted Angle to fail.
Yes. Yes.
Because Angle was more. Well, he seemed cocky. He seemed like arrogant, that you obviously respected Angle, but you didn't like him. Whereas Gable has this real likability factor. He strikes me as a very similar ilk to what Sami Zayn is, in the fact you can't help but like him.
Exactly. And I think the other thing as well, that match with Jordan and Gable versus Corbin and Rhino, I think we both agreed on this. It was probably the best tag team match I've seen this year.
100% the best tag team. It's the best tag team match I've seen in a long time.
Yeah,
a long time.
Exactly. Like,
it was. I said I text when I was talking to you and Marcus on our group. I text you both. I almost would say it was better than the main event.
Yeah.
But the emotional side of the main event made it better.
Yeah,
I thought that was tag team wrestling 101, and it was why tag team wrestling can be such a show stealer.
Yeah, yeah. The thing is as well, we that match as well, I think that's turned Gable and Jordan babyface, because I think you can't keep them heel anymore. The crowd loves them too much. The other thing as well is what NXT has done. We'll obviously get to it later, but you look at the women's division. No one gave a fuck about women's wrestling 2 years ago. I used to always go and have a cup of tea whenever women's wrestling was on, or I'd fast forward, whatever.
100%, yeah. I mean,
And that's kind of been the same with tag team wrestling. But you can only rebuild certain things at a time. At the end of the day, you're focusing on the women, and the tag team division is being rebuilt gradually. Like we said it before.
I don't necessarily agree with that.
Yeah.
Because my personal opinion is that you can have storylines throughout the card, and people won't get confused.
Yeah.
What you'll do is you'll just... people will be more invested in certain parts of the show than others. So there'll be a certain portion of the fans that are really interested in a tag team storyline between the New Day, Dudley's, Four Villains, and someone else.
Yeah, yeah.
There'll be another portion of the crowd that are really interested in the fact that Paige is challenging Charlotte for the title and Becky is fighting Sasha for a number one contendership. And then there'll be people that are really interested in what Kevin Owens, Cena, Ambrose, Reigns, Rollins, all of them, the upper end of the card are doing. So if you, I think I've worded that badly.
What I mean is to take the quality of teams you've got now. The quality of teams you've got now is better than what they had a year ago, for example, in NXT, when you had the Ascension fighting like Lucha Dragons or something like that. You have...
100%, yeah.
Yeah, you have tag teams that will draw a better match than what they had a year ago. And it's the same with the women's
division. This is the problem. What people forget is that half the time it's not... match quality is important. Half of the time... the battle is to get people invested in those teams, those people, or those wrestlers, or those women. It's getting them invested. And that's the difference is, like, you've got people like Natalya and even Paige now to an extent on the main roster. They've been on the main roster for a good couple of years. But no one's really invested in them.
Nah.
What you're having now is people are coming from NXT that wrestling fans are genuinely invested in and genuinely want to see do well. So you've got the New Day, who deserve a lot of credit for getting over in a position that they shouldn't be getting over in.
That was set up to fail, New Day, from 100%, like, when it first started, definitely.
Yeah, and they've managed to get over in something they really should not so much the gimmick. I'm talking about the position on the card.
Yeah,
they've managed to get. They're managing kind of to now make the bookers put them into more main event. Not main event, but more with higher caliber superstars.
Yeah, yeah.
They've gone from feuding with the prime time players to now Dudley's and then Cena being involved the other day. Like, they're now involved in higher card activities is probably the best term.
Raw finished, didn't it, on Monday? This is what I've read. With New Day laying out Cena, Ziggler and someone else, I think. They were standing tall at the end of Raw.
Yeah.
Which... I can't remember the last time I saw tag team champions in the show on top.
It's brilliant. But now what they have to do is not lose momentum. Because obviously Dudley's versus New Day books itself nicely for the next pay-per-view.
Yeah.
Right? But they need to bring a tag team up for the pay-per-view after that.
Yeah.
They need to bring up an NXT tag team. Now, I don't know who you want to do. I mean...
Blake and Murphy. I think that's quite the easy one...
But Blake and Murphy are a heel group in NXT. And yes, okay, they're kind of off TV, aren't they, at the moment, Blake and Murphy? So it makes sense for them to be stepping up. Right, which they could get a bit of a push from it. Alexa Bliss now split off to go after... She's going to go after the women's title, I believe.
Yeah, I was a bit shocked by that one, if I'm honest.
I'm not, because as I said to you before, with... the example of Rollins and who he should fight, you have to have a couple of months where it's not a big, massive feud.
Yeah.
Not something that people are like, wow, I can't wait to see this. But something they'll watch.
Yeah.
Because obviously you watch it because it's a face against a heel. Alexa Bliss has done well to get herself over as quite hated with Blake and Murphy.
Yeah.
People don't really like her. So for 2 months... you have them two face. Now, people aren't anticipating as much as they're anticipating Bayley versus Sasha, but what that means is the next rivalry can be more anticipated. The next rivalry can be Asuka or someone like that. Like, it can be something much bigger.
Yeah.
I always think you need placeholder feuds.
Yeah, I completely agree with that. It's like, I mean, if you look at...
Because now, Balor versus whoever can be the main event.
Yeah.
And the women's title match would be great, but it can be a co-main event, like, underneath, or it could just be on the card. And then, the following pay-per-view, Balor versus whoever, or whoever the champion may be, can be the one under the main event, which is the women's title match. Like, it can... Things can rotate on the card.
Yeah, yeah, and that's... Yeah, you know, that's a testament to the way Triple H has booked, because he has now got that option. A year ago, you don't have that option. Like, it will always be the males or main event, the women, however good a match they're having, aren't going to get above co-main event. They've obviously, we'll get onto that in a minute, but they've now broke that glass ceiling, so to speak.
100%. But yeah, I mean, Gable and Jordan, for me, I would fast track them to the main event, to the main roster sooner rather than later.
Yeah.
My main reason for it is that they're so fundamentally strong that they're going to get over organically.
Yeah.
Blake and Murphy, as much as I think they're good tag team, and they're definitely going to be a main roster tag team, I think that you're going to get more from promoting Gable and Jordan quickly than you would anything else.
Yeah, I think the thing I'd say with Blake and Murphy, I think I said it to Marcus before, or I said it to you, I don't really remember, but... If, like, obviously, this next New Day Dudley's Boy match, I imagine is going to be the last match of their feud, or for now. It would be so refreshing in a tag division to see a new team come out and cost someone like the Dudleys the title, to then set up the Dudleys in a place to, right, you're going to go against us, you'll get the rub from us, because of who we are, and you get a chance to show what you could do. If you fail, then that's it, you'll go down. But, for example, when the Ascension came up and Lucha Dragons came up, they're having rivalries with teams that don't matter, and therefore the fans don't care about it. You have Blake and Murphy come out of Hell in a Cell and cost the Dudleys the title. You've got a feud there automatically.
100%, and you're not automatically putting them into the main tag team title picture, because you can have 2 months of rivalry against Dudleys versus Blake and Murphy, and then Blake and Murphy go to titles. Again, you have a place that you then have a placeholder feud for the New Day.
Yeah.
You then have a whoever you want to do, a prime time players versus the New Day, a couple of like a month or two, but just don't book big four way tag team matches now.
Yeah.
You've got to steer clear of that. I think multi-man matches need to really be drawn, like to come back. Like as in four ways, four ways triple threats. They need to be drawn back a little bit, saved for a little bit more of a big deal.
Yes,
they should be the placeholder matches should be a four way. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So when we've got Rollins versus Kane now, it probably should have been a fatal four way of Rollins, Wyatt, Reigns and Ambrose.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, as much as people would want to say that shouldn't be a placeholder feud, it should be at the moment, because three of the four of those men are not top draw main eventers at the moment.
Yeah, but they're still getting the taste of main event in a pay-per-view sort of thing, basically.
Exactly. They're not top draw main event, but they can be boosted by a good match. You imagine them tearing down the house in that fatal four-way, and then later on down the line, you just having a triple threat of the Shield members.
Yeah.
Like, there's ways to go forward. As I say, I thought the tag team, all three of the tag team matches on the show were decent.
Yeah. I loved Cody and Goldust, or, you know, coming out at the end to do like that little presentation and stuff. I thought that was a really nice touch.
It was good. It was really nice.
And I mean, I say this all the time. I don't know what Cody Rhodes has done or why he's overlooked so much, sort of thing, because he's just...
He's
a good performer. He's good on the mic. Like, even if you look at the Stardust gimmick, some people might like it or hate it, but he goes full throttle on it. He doesn't do it by half measure.
I think the Stardust thing has a lot of legs in it.
Yeah,
I think it has a lot of legs to go in as being. They kind of need to, this cartoony thing, superhero thing they're doing at the moment works okay for now.
Yeah.
But they need to. What they need to do is come out of this with Cody Stardust becoming vicious.
Yeah.
Saying, fuck this this superhero shit. Fuck this cartoony shit. Being nutty, vicious. Yeah. And then he can progress to IC title. We can progress to, once you've got, say, imagine this, having a Sami Zayn Stardust rivalry when Stardust has flipped and gone real heel, real vicious, and having someone as good as Sami Zayn at selling and like the underdog babyface. That's money. That rivalry.
Absolutely.
That money is what the IC title is for.
Yeah. Yeah, and
two brilliant workers that have the potential to go main event.
Yeah, no, I completely agree with that, and I think that'd be great to have Cody Rhodes go vicious and fight, because Sami Zayn's the perfect person to do that against as well. Because
yeah, 100%.
You know, when he comes up, that'll be you know, he will be like an underdog mid card champion, and you will get people like Cody Rhodes.
Without wanting to draw too many comparisons, he's the new age. He's the next stage Daniel Bryan. He's the next era Daniel Bryan. He's someone that people will really be able to get behind as an underdog. Speaking of characters and stuff and getting over, we have differing opinions on the Tyler Breeze and Apollo Crews.
Yes, no, that's exactly where I was going to go to next, to be perfectly honest with you. I mean, everything you say about Tyler Breeze, I do agree.
Well, my opinion, I enjoyed the match, don't get me wrong. They're both solid and brilliant workers, I think they're both great workers. But what it is with Tyler Breeze at the moment is that outside the ring, his character is down to a T phenomenal.
Yeah.
He has his character locked down. He comes across brilliantly. I think the whole Zoolander-esque type gimmick for him is brilliant. It works so well. My issue is that as soon as he steps through the ropes and starts, the bell rings, before the match starts, obviously, he lays on the ropes. It's great. All of the camera stuff, the iPhone stuff, phenomenal.
Yeah.
But as soon as that bell rings, the character doesn't translate as much. He doesn't seem to be the same character.
Yes, yes.
In that situation.
Yeah.
Tyler Breeze should do a dropkick, do press-ups, pose. He should do a dropkick, lay on the floor with his fist on his head and lay sideways and blow a kiss to the opponent.
Yes, right? Yeah.
He should do something in the corner. He should have a move in the corner in which he smashes it into someone, they fall to the floor, he lies on the ropes like he does before the start of the match. I just think he needs to really put across his personality during the match. I don't think he does it. That's my issue.
And to be honest, I can see exactly where you're coming from with it. Like, what you said there, it's my issue with Ambrose. That's how I feel about Ambrose. Like, I think Ambrose, the character's good. He's obviously good on the mic and everything, but when he gets in the ring, that's how I feel watching him. I'm like, it's just not to the extent.
Do you know what I mean? I know what you're saying, but I think with Ambrose, the difference is that Ambrose works the same style as his character, I think.
Yeah.
I think that he throws a lot of punches. His whole demeanour in a match is the nutty lunatic asylum bloke that he is outside the ring. But I understand I think your issue with Ambrose is that I just don't think you like that style of work. I think there are certain people that Dean Ambrose could fight and it would be a brilliant, brilliant match for different reasons than it would be watching a Daniel Bryan versus CM Punk match, for example.
Then
there'll be Dean Ambrose would then fight a Daniel Bryan-esque superstar and it won't live up to the expectations that you'd want it to. I think that's probably your...
I think you've probably hit the nail on the head there, Emma, to be perfectly honest with you. You have hit the nail on the head. And I think the other thing as well with Tyler Breeze, it sounds really weird. As a model, there's got to be a woman in that developmental who, you know, obviously can still go on to be a wrestler, but could work as a valet with him, as a model to walk along with him.
I think they just need to hire three. I think they need to hire, and not necessarily. They don't. I'm against having people that are going to be working later on as real ditzy valets.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah.
So, what? The problem that WWE have is that they've actually got Breezy's Bird, who is a worker. She could work. Mm.
Yeah.
And she's hot.
Yeah.
And I don't. She doesn't work for the company. I think she works independent.
Yeah.
So she's not signed. But you've got his actual girlfriend who could work with him, or just bring in three models. Just bring in three models that aren't actual. Aren't wrestlers. They don't need to be wrestlers. They are there purely to walk him to the ring.
A bit like the Godfather and the Hose.
Yeah, kind of. Yeah. But in a different scenario, in a different setting. Just bring, have him, and what they need to also have is have girls in the crowd. Like, actually have some planted women in the crowd in which he'll, like they did when that woman crossed over the barrier at one of the shows, I can't remember which one it was, and she came over, gave him a big hug and stuff. Yeah. I think they need stuff like that. They need two or three girls in the front row that are his fans, like Breeze's army or whatever you wanted to call it. Like, I just think you need to really capitalise on all of that.
Yes. Yeah. No. I think you're right. I think there's obviously a reason he hasn't been called up yet. You know, he's been floating around the NXT upper card as opposed to the mid card.
Well, for what, 2 years now?
Yeah.
And I genuinely think it's his matches, because if you watch his matches, they get a good reaction, but they don't get the pop that other people get.
Yeah. Yeah,
they get good. Obviously, none of his matches are people sitting down and not enjoying it, but they only get good reactions. The only time I think he's kind of had a standing ovation type thing is with what's his face, the Japanese guy.
Joshin van der Lager.
No. Before that, the one's injured. Can't remember his name. Why can't I remember his name?
Hideo Itami. Yeah.
Hideo. But against Hideo, Itami, they had a quality match because Breeze was fighting someone that really knew how to bring out the best in him.
Yes, yeah. It's the same with his match against Sami Zayn on one of the earlier takeovers. Like, that match should have been a coming out match for Breeze, but it's never really been built upon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just think he needs to improve his in-work to get himself over more.
Yeah.
Make himself booed. Be a heel.
Yeah.
Be a heel. He's too in between at the moment. Too many people like him, too many people. He's a split.
Yeah.
And the difference was, Kevin Owens, when he first came out, was loved. He then turned heel. People still were kind of cheering him, but then he kept at it. He kept making sure that he would do heel moves. He would do heel stuff. And people ended up booing him.
Yeah, I mean, if you ask me, the best three heels on the roster are Rollins, Owens and Sasha, because even though people want to like them, they work hard to be hated.
Yeah, they do things that are right in a heel scenario.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, obviously, from Tyler Breeze, I mean, what do you make of Apollo Crews?
A ridiculous athlete. It's insane. I don't know how a man of his size can do the stuff he does.
No, he's, and do you know what, you look at him and you think, if he goes to the main roster, he'll be a Vince McMahon guy. You look at him and you can tell Vince would love him.
He's not that tall, but it's not an issue because he's strong. So I think what you've got, I just think that Vince and Triple H both look at him and think money, personally.
Yeah.
You'd be stupid not to. Any bloke that has his look, he's a good-looking guy, he's built like a brick shithouse, and he can move like a cruiserweight. I mean, he is the epitome of your new age wrestler.
Yes. And on top of that, like, where you're saying he's quite short sort of thing, when I first watched wrestling, a big man was like a 7-foot-tall person, you know, like your Kevin Nash's or fucking Taker's, obviously. A normal-sized person was like Scott Hall, Triple H, who was 6'5", 6'6". Now, You probably look at the roster. Obviously, you've still got, like, obviously, your Rowans and Braun Strowmans and stuff like that. But
you've got a good mix.
Yeah, but you'd look at, like, say, Roman Reigns, and he is that, like, Razor Ramon, quite, like, sort of that sort of hype thing now. I think wrestlers these days, they're not so much on a big bodybuilding. They're more of, like, the CrossFit, lean look.
100%. Know? Well, mainly because the style that people work nowadays, most 7 foot superstars wouldn't be able to work it.
Yeah, it's a lot.
It's a testament to Kane
that
he's able to still go and still have watchable matches at his size and his height.
I mean, that's the other thing. Obviously, going back to Apollo Crews.
Yeah,
I've seen on the spoilers that he's won a battle royal to be the number one contender against Finn Balor.
Yeah. Which is interesting, two faces going up against each other.
Yeah, and I imagine that's going to be... where Joe's going to turn. Because they've obviously been building towards Balor and Joe turning, but they, and rightfully so at this takeover, they didn't go for it at that moment, because that Dusty Classic, if you look away from it once it's finished, it was right a babyface team won it.
100%. Yeah. Sometimes you just have to forget about what storylines would have made sense and do something for respect, and that was done out of respect.
Yeah, so you can, the next chapter in the storyline, now you can start, they've won the tournament, you can still build dissension between Balor and Joe.
To what do you think, Nick? Joe costing Balor the title?
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, I still don't know how they progress the face versus face rivalry between Crews and Balor, because my issue with it is there's no... Balor has a personality already built. Crews doesn't really have a personality built yet in the NXT universe. So I think when you have face versus face, I think you have to have a crowd split.
Yeah.
Like, to be able to say that, oh, well, half most people, like quite a lot of people are invested in this face, and quite a lot of people invested in this face. They're two completely polar opposites, and we're going to have a nice split between the crowd.
Yeah.
But they don't. I don't think they're going to have that, because I would say if you asked the NXT universe who's your favourite, Balor or Crews, I'd say 90% would say Balor at the moment.
Completely agree. Yeah.
And that all of a sudden kind of makes Crews look weaker, even if he wins the match.
Mm.
The fact that half, like most of the crowd, aren't into him as much as they are the other bloke doesn't really work. I don't really get where they go. I'd be interested, because I'm not, don't get me wrong, I have all the confidence in the world that they'll book it, right?
Yeah.
But I don't understand at the moment
how they book it, sort of thing. Yeah. I think the other thing as well with Apollo Crews, in my head, I earmark him to be the one that will take over from Balor when he goes to the main roster, if you know what I mean. So if you're going to give Apollo Crews the title, it's going to have to be a special. You can't just give it to him on an episode of NXT. It needs to feel big. And it also needs to be off a heel, personally. That's my view. I know you can get away with babyface versus babyface big matches and the losing baby face shakes his hand.
But this isn't a big match.
No, it's not yet, because it's too... Apollo Crews is still too new to the NXT brand for it to feel like a big match.
Exactly.
Because, obviously, the reason Neville's aim worked as a babyface dynamic, which, let's be honest, it was pretty much Neville had to work heel because the crowd was so behind Zane. But you had a good year of a build to that moment.
Exactly. They were both invested in both superstars. So that's what I mean. It's interesting to see where they go with it. But I think we should probably move on to the main event now.
Yeah, I mean, one thing I do want to say, it's only a quick one. I love the fact as well on this special, Balor didn't bother putting the demon stuff on.
Yeah, I think they do that. They do that well. I think they pick and choose when it should go on. Same as I was saying about Place to Refuse.
Yeah.
I don't think that he would put the demon stuff on for the first match against Crews either.
No. And I think the thing is, the nice little nuance to it was, rather than put the paint on, he's like stuck a leather jacket on him, so he still looked like a superstar.
Oh, I like the Balor Club thing that they're starting to go with.
Yeah.
Because I would love to see a stable, an NXT superstar stable on the main roster.
Yeah.
That want to push themselves to the main event level quickly. Yeah. Like, I would like to see that, but we'll see whether it actually happens.
Yeah. As you say, I think, you're right. Let's go to the main event. I mean, I might as well quickly disclaimer this. I've said it, obviously, on the Sunday segment I've been on there. I've said it to you over text messages, but I was very, very wrong about Bayley. I didn't rate her at Christmas, and she's pretty much pretty much proven me wrong.
I'm a bit of a sap for underdog. I like to be invested in characters, and Bayley was a character that I really invested in pretty early on. As I said to you last year, didn't I? I said that I just think she's money for the company as a whole.
Yeah.
I think she can work, and I also think she is going to be the female equivalent of John Cena. Not necessarily that she's going to be the unbeatable diva on the main roster. She is going to sell more merchandise than any diva probably ever has.
Yeah, no, and that's the thing, I'm eating my words on that one, because I didn't see it. Like, genuinely, I saw she was a fan favourite, but I never saw her as that star. But, you know, I think once the story happened where she was, you know, kind of on the road to redemption to face Sasha in Brooklyn, then yeah. It was kind of the point where I think I said to you over a message, I'm kind of eating my words here about Sasha. Yeah. Like, and I'm not admitting that.
It's hard to deny pure likability.
Mm.
And that is the problem you have if someone's anti Bayley, I'll be amazed. Like, because she's just a character you can't hate.
Yeah.
Whether you're a hardened wrestling fan or a kid or somewhere in between, she is a great worker.
Yeah.
But she also has a connection with the youth, like the kids around, that no one can really understand. She speaks to all measures of wrestling fan.
Yeah, and I think as a personality, she's not a girly girl in the sense of like nails and hair and stuff. She's just a girl that's relatable to. Like,
yeah, exactly. She's a normal. She looks normal. She doesn't look. She's not like unbelievably fit. She's not an unbelievably stunning bird. Yeah. She's a good looking girl. She's an okay looking girl sort of thing. And she just is likable. She is relatable. She is the girl next door wrestler.
Yeah, and I mean, on that note, before we carry on, I'm going to put the video packaging from this match in here.
Finally prove to everybody, prove to the world, prove to my mom who keeps coming to these championship matches and watching me lose, and I'm gonna prove to Sasha Banks that she was wrong about me this whole time.
Well, right now it is all about the NXT Women's Championship.
Bayley has a silence, that voice of self-doubt, that voice that calls into question your confidence. And Bayley has to truly believe that she is good enough to ascend to the next level.
At NXT TakeOver in Brooklyn, you can expect what you always see. A star. I'm going to walk in at NXT TakeOver, the NXT Women's Champion, and I'm going to walk out at Brooklyn as your NXT Women's Champion.
The following contest is scheduled for one fall, and it is for the NXT Women's Championship!
The NXT Women's title is on the line. Bayley said she's not going to let this opportunity slip by her.
And the boss was quick to reply with, "I'm sorry, Bayley, this isn't a fairy tale. Okay, this is real life where the boss is on top. She does what she wants to do. This isn't a feel-good story."
Oh, Bayley connected with the boss.
Look at that look on Bayley. That look has not changed since the moment this match started. Bayley is more dialed in and focused than we have ever seen her.
No! Double knee to the top rope. Sasha Banks going to retain the title right here. A kick out by Bayley.
I will give her all the credit in the world. She is tough, but just not tough enough to beat the boss.
The referee is going to make sure that Bayley is still able to continue. The official keeping Sasha Banks. Oh, wait a minute!
Oh my God!
What a clutch over the top rope!
Sasha Banks not giving her the time. That's why she's the champ. She never hesitates to capitalize on an opportunity.
What does Bayley have in mind?
Oh my God!
There it is! Bayley to Bayley! For the title! Bayley has done it! Bayley is your new NXT Women's Champion! The culmination of years of being told you were just not good enough. Bayley says no way to fight again. She has shown us that it can be done. She is your new NXT Women's Champion. And there are Charlotte and Becky Lynch congratulating Bayley. An emotional moment.
That right there is the Divas Revolution. Women's wrestling is back.
I dreamt about it forever, but it doesn't compare to what I like. As long as I dreamt about it, I've never been ready for the feeling.
And that's all great. That's all great for everyone, except me. At TakeOver, you earned my respect because that night, you were great. But that night only, you're still not me. And now I have even a bigger point to prove. Think you are the only one who has a point to prove here, Sasha? If you're out here asking for a rematch, sister, I have no problem with that.
Ladies, I've heard enough to realize that we've got a tremendous opportunity here. So on October the 7th, at NXT TakeOver, right here in Full Sail, for the NXT Women's Championship, Sasha Banks will face Bayley in a 30-minute Ironman match. But I'm going to up the ante a little here. For the first time in NXT history, you will be the main event of NXT TakeOver.
It's not only just a 30-minute Ironman match, but it's a match that I need to put everything into to retain my title and to prove to everybody that I can beat Sasha Banks. It wasn't just a 3-second fluke. I've upped my cardio, I've changed my diet, I've been working harder in the gym. It's gonna take so much more out of me.
Bayley gave me the biggest fight of my life, but at NXT Respect, I'm gonna show Bayley who's boss around here. So you can throw me to the wall. Tomorrow I'm a comeback leader of the whole pack. Lead me black and blue. Every wound will shape me. Every scar will build my
flag. I want to win, but it has to go for 30 minutes long and just doing my best to study, watching so many Ironman matches, anything I can find.
I don't need to tell you my strategy. You'll see it October 7th.
After I beat Sasha Banks, I'm gonna still be the NXT Women's Champion because I'm gonna earn her respect. I want to earn the respect of everybody, all the fans, and everybody watching to respect women's wrestling.
You are the reason I still fight, so you can throw me.
That video package kind of just sums up
It's just ridiculous. Like, I texted you, didn't I, the tweet that Lance Storm did.
Yeah.
About, he tweeted saying that I've worked in this industry for 25 years and that video package of Bayley versus Sasha has just given me goosebumps.
Yeah.
Think about that. And it's spot on. Like, someone, I mean, obviously, we all joke, Lance Storm is not the most charismatic of people, but...
He knows the business, doesn't he? You know?
100%. And for someone like him to get goosebumps about a women's title match, not even on the main roster, on what would be regarded as the second tier.
Yeah.
Like, it's insane. And so deserved.
I think the thing that summed it up is when Bayley came to NXT the first night after she became champion, and, you know, you had the big celebration, and then Sasha came out, and the crowd roared, not because it was Sasha, because it was like, we're about to hear about the rematch. We're going to fight. Yeah. We're going to hear what's going on. Yeah. You looked at the pair of them and you could see them trying to hold it together because of how big a moment it was.
Yeah.
And then when Regal came out and was like, there's a great opportunity here. His smile on his face, that was a genuine smile. That wasn't a storyline smile. 100%.
He is so proud. And he's like a proud dad.
Yeah. And just that segment is probably my favourite segment in wrestling this year. Nothing has topped that for me.
The only one I liked more probably was Owen Cena when Owens first came out.
Yeah. I mean, that was a big moment. But I mean, like, as far as that pulled on every emotion you can have as a wrestling fan.
Yeah, 100%. And what was done well about it was the fact that Sasha didn't hide that she hugged Bayley the previous night.
Yeah.
Well, not the previous night, but on Brooklyn. She didn't hide that she hugged her and that had respect, but what she said is that I respect you because you were better that one night.
Yeah.
And it might be all well and good that everyone's saying this is the best women's match of all time, but the fact is it's not good for me because I lost.
Yeah.
And I love that. It's perfect. It's how... It's a story. It's a proper story. That package there has just told you a proper wrestling story.
And you know what's great about it? It's simple. It's such a simple story. Like, because obviously in response to that, Bayley's like, I need to beat you to prove I'm not a fluke. And,
exactly.
And just automatically, you're like, all right, yeah, take my money. Like, do you know what I mean? Yeah, like,
100%. Like, and what it just really is nice to see women getting this chance to have proper storylines. I mean, women's sport itself, I've always enjoyed watching women's sport. I was actually having a conversation with my housemate. It's not just about wrestling,
but
women's sports in general. They're not really fussed. They don't care. They don't care. And that unfortunately, is the battle women face.
Yeah.
Is that I watched the Women's World Cup because I enjoyed watching it. I quite enjoy watching women's football. I don't mind it.
Yeah.
I wouldn't sit there and watch Arsenal versus Chelsea ladies.
Yeah.
But the fact is, if it's international, it's England, I would sit there and watch women's football and enjoy it and be invested in it.
Yeah.
They wouldn't. And
yes,
that's the problem that women's wrestling has, is they're fighting the stigma that most men seem to have, is the fact that women's sports aren't as entertaining as men's sports. And I personally don't buy into that.
No, and I think, do you know what, this is the thing, like, because people will always sit there and they'll throw the argument, oh, Vince is out of touch or whatever. Like, maybe he is, maybe he isn't. But the fact is, at WrestleMania, when Ronda Rousey came over the barrier to square up with Stephanie McMahon, the crowd roared because it was two women fighting and it was something that was very unique, you know?
Yeah.
Like, it was a badass from UFC, but it was a woman. It wasn't a man. Like, it wasn't like when Ken Shamrock came in and it was like, he's hard, he's a cage fighter.
She's the biggest fighter in the world, man.
Yeah. Oh yeah, second to none. Well, like,
Ronda Rousey's the biggest fighter in the world, and what wrestling needs to do is ride that wave, build their own stars, and then when Ronda Rousey does disappear and no one takes her place for a few years, wrestling can fill that void. And that's where
Triple H is so smart, because he's seen Becky, Sasha, Charlotte and Bayley and thought, right, we'll do this in NXT in the background, you keep having good matches, and sooner or later, because of this wave of women are having competitive matches in UFC and football and so many other sports, people will start paying you more attention in NXT, and they've had matches now. To be honest, that if you put the top 10 matches of this year, 40% at least are women's matches.
I'd say at least four of them would be women's matches, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, the story told, I mean, again, I thought the Brooklyn match was better. I had my reservations about high scoring before, because obviously we were texting beforehand.
Yeah.
But by the end of it, it didn't take anything away from the match.
No, like, I agree. I enjoyed the Brooklyn match more.
And I think that's just my feeling on Iron Man matches. I think that it's just... I think, obviously, because you had Shawn and Brett, which was obviously so great, and it's still to this day, as far as the male Iron Man matches go, nothing's come close to it, ever.
I agree. I don't necessarily agree with you in the fact of the falls type thing.
Yeah, no, again, this is my preference, I suppose. Like, it's just, I think, if you look at Triple H Rock when they had the Iron Man match, it was just too many falls, and it was just like...
Oh yeah, I don't disagree with that.
Yeah.
But if they had, what was it, like 9-8 or something, or 9-0 or whatever it was, 8-0, I can't remember.
It was something ridiculous.
It was high. But this one, for example, my opinion is Sasha cheated to take the first.
Yeah.
Right, which is fine.
Yeah.
Her second one she got was a count out.
Yeah.
And the first fall that Bayley got was one catching her out of unaware.
Yeah.
Which they're all, I thought, I completely agree with you if it's just, does their finisher pins?
Yeah.
But
these were, exactly. No, you're completely right.
They led into the situations well. Like, even the fact, yeah, okay, Bayley's first pinfall was from a finisher, right? But it was from a surprise. Sasha was on top, she was on the ropes, then she got hit with it out of the blue, and she pinned her. The two falls that Sasha got were both heel moves.
Mm.
Which, by the way, Sasha and Izzy is the greatest heel spot I've seen in 10 years.
Easily.
If not longer.
Easily. I think I was saying to Marcus, that's up there for me... with that WrestleMania where JBL just launched the trash can at Hornswoggle for absolutely no reason, just to be a prick, basically. And Sasha taking that fucking headband and just coming in and posing whilst Bayley was getting counted out, and then looking and seeing Izzy in tears.
It done me. I was welling up. I was like, for fuck's sake, what? I'm doing this halfway through a match. What the fuck?
Yeah,
it was brilliant.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, I may maybe have a bit more of an evil streak and just think, oh, that's fucking brilliant. Like, that's the way I thought.
Yeah.
And then I also enjoyed Brock Lesnar breaking Zach Gowan's only good leg, so that kind of states what I am as a wrestling fan. But, and you're completely right. Every fall in that match, like, I think Bayley's second fall as well was like a small package out of nowhere, wasn't it?
Well, yeah, it was. She ended up pinning her down, and it looked that you couldn't kick out of it. It was so neatly done.
Yeah.
And so tightly done that the reason you believed that being a second fall, it wasn't a roll up in which you could just roll to the side to kick out of. It was actually, she was tied up. It looked like it was impossible for Sasha to kick out.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, and then obviously, I thought the last 10 minutes of the match were phenomenal. Once it went to 2-all, like, the closing bit was great, but obviously, I'm kind of with you on what you said about the finish at her tapping out with 2 seconds left.
Yeah, I don't like it. I've never liked that finish, and I never will. The way I personally would have booked it would have been Sasha, Bayley would have made her tap with about a minute and a half to go.
Yeah.
Right. And then I would have ended it with Bayley in the bank statement for 30, 40, 50 seconds, whatever you wanted to do, and refusing to tap and taking the 3-2 victory. Yeah. I also would have been putting over during the match that if we're tired, we go to overtime.
Yeah, because they fucked that, didn't they? Because Saxton turned around and was like, what happens if it ends a draw? What happens if it stays 2-0? And then is it Brennan turned around and went, all right, we'll end in a draw? And then,
because of the finish they had, they obviously wanted, well, it's going to end in a draw if Bayley doesn't pick up the win here, which obviously worked in the way they did it. But I would have just done it differently. I would have said from the start that if it's level 30 minutes. We go to overtime, and then I would have had Bailey stuck in the bank statement just as a courageous face refusing to tap out.
Yeah.
That's how I would have ended it.
Yeah.
It would have been her real coming out party, personally.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, the only other booking I would have gone with was Sasha to hold on for them 2 seconds, have the overtime, a little bit of back and forth, and then Bailey does hit a Bailey to Bailey or whatever and just gets the overtime win.
I just don't like the tapping out. I think if you've held on for 30 seconds, you can hold on for an hour too. I know it looked painful, don't get me wrong, fuck me.
That looked horrible, didn't it?
Yeah, it was really painful. I wouldn't have had a finishing move. I wouldn't have had a move in that situation where she can't tap out. She couldn't tap. She had to kick her legs or whatever, or say she quitted or whatever.
Yeah.
I'm not even really sure what happened. We kind of glossed over that because we all loved the match. We kind of glossed over that the finish wasn't... The actual last 10 seconds of the match wasn't great.
Yeah, and obviously when the match finished, I'm going to be completely honest and say WWE got me.
100%.
When Sasha walked up the ramp and they was all waiting there applauding and went to give her flowers and she fell to her knees crying, I was like, you bastards.
And Regal was crying, that's what done me.
Exactly. And then you had Bailey in the ring, bawling her eyes out, applauding. I was just like, you fuckers. This is such a great moment, but you've got me.
100%. I had everyone.
You've completely got me. And then Triple H coming in the ring and giving the flowers to Bailey for her to have her moment as well. And just in general, to kind of sit there and go, do you know what? Women's wrestling can main event a pay-per-view. You deserve this moment as a pair. Sasha deserves her send-off to the main roster, which I'm sure we'll cover in a second. And Bailey deserves to be acknowledged as the one we're going to rely on for the next few months to carry this division, sort of thing.
Yeah, as I said to you on when we did the review of last year, me, you and Marcus, as I said to you both then, women's wrestling will headline a main event, a main roster pay-per-view. It will, and I think I said it will within 3 or 4 years. I think it may even be within 2 now.
Yeah,
because they're getting so much momentum, and Vince was there in the background. I don't know if you saw it when they came back in guerrilla position when they did the 24
the Brooklyn program? One, yeah, yeah. The Brooklyn one.
The WWE 24, and you can see Vince in the background there clapping. So I just think he's not stupid enough to ignore it. Like, part of me thought, well, is Vince even there for those shows? And for Brooklyn, he was there to see it all go as well as it did.
Yeah, and that's the thing, because like you say there, that would be my fault. It's like, how can Vince ignore this now? Like, there's no way he can sit there and go, well, women's wrestling's not that important. They've now broken a glass ceiling that I never saw coming 2-3 years ago. Not even a year ago, if I'm honest.
You definitely couldn't see it.
This is the thing, like, obviously, without going too into one about the main roster and their Divas Revolution or whatever, but the faction war thing worked at first. I think they left it a bit too long to start splitting the factions, but it's starting to break off a bit now.
Yeah, and they're sowing the seeds of Sasha being the one in Team Bad. Like, they're sowing the seeds that she's picking up the victories. The others are going to get... I think they're going to break Sasha off into it as a face sooner rather than later.
But do you know what? They should then be, because Sasha being with Tamina and Naomi, is it? It's like when The Rock was in The Nation surrounded by, like, Godfather and Crew.
But I think you have to build that anticipation.
Of course you do.
Think you have to really get a solid turn out of someone, you have to build the anticipation for it. Really build, like, them to think you're going to turn, no you're not. Them to think you're going to turn, no you're not. And then do it. And then what you've got there is you've got the most logical booking in the world. You've got Sasha becoming a face, rivaling with Naomi for a little while, then getting to the stage where she's like, well, I want that women's title. And if there's a face women's champion at that point, it's easy. All you do is Sasha turns heel, does the nasty stuff we know she's capable of, and says, well, the reason I'm doing it is because I want the title.
Yeah.
It's the most logical and easy booking ever.
Yeah, completely. Completely. I think, like, the other thing as well, I mean, this is just, again, this is armchair booking. I'd imagine they're going to build towards Charlotte versus Sasha at Mania this year.
Do you think this Mania or next Mania? This is the thing. I don't know. I don't know whether it feels rushed if they did it for this Mania.
But yeah, you put, or even Paige getting the Divas title off Charlotte and Sasha face her at this Mania, and yeah, maybe build it to the year after. But that's going to be a Mania.
My personal opinion is that I wouldn't have given the title to Charlotte right now.
Nah.
I would have had a chase. I would have had Paige pick it up. I would have had Paige take the title as a proper heel. But the reason she takes it is she holds Charlotte down to allow herself to get the title, and then you can build to maybe a Sasha, one of the three, Sasha, Charlotte, whoever. You build to one of them taking the title at this year's Mania against Paige or Nikki or whoever, and then next year you have the NXT stars really be the ones that take the forefront. You could even have a triple threat of Bayley, or even a fatal four way like they did. Have Bayley the following Mania. You have Bayley, Sasha, Charlotte, Becky.
Because
that was one of the best matches of the year.
Oh, by a country mile on that, and yeah, I think. The other thing as well that goes against Charlotte is a bit unfair because she is good in the ring and she does work her ass off. But so many wrestling fans I've seen on Twitter and Facebook and stuff, they still were like, she's only where she is because of her dad. And it's just like
bollocks.
It is bollocks, Emily, but like, unfortunately, she's always going to have that
stigma. She has to work twice as hard as everyone else.
Yeah, like Triple H did when he got with Stephanie. It was like, he's only there because he's banging Vince's daughter, and it's like, well,
the problem is that people are that stupid. If you watch Charlotte, she's probably the most gifted athlete, and I'm not just including women here. I'm including men.
Yeah,
she's probably the most gifted athlete, pure athlete there is on that roster.
She can
do things that are insane, absolutely insane.
I'm fully with you. Like, you haven't got to say that.
Anyway, so overall, so you enjoyed it, yeah?
Yeah, I enjoyed it. I'll probably give it a 8 out of 10. I don't think there was a lot flawed about it, but obviously...
There was nothing wrong.
Yeah.
I just enjoyed Brooklyn more. That was the only fact.
I think the thing is with Brooklyn as well, because it was out of full, like, the full sale arena, it felt bigger.
Yeah, well, it was bigger, wasn't it? They had 16,000 or whatever they had, 12,000, I can't remember what it was.
Which is fucking testament to what Triple H has done in the last 2 years, to be honest.
Oh, 100%.
And I mean, there's one thing we've glossed over, and that was Asuka, which is spelt Azuka.
Well, yeah, true. It's spelt Azuka, and I still think she's going to end up being called Azuka down the line.
Yeah, I don't know if it was just a case of Regal fucked up the first time he said it. It's like, we've got to stick to it.
I think they fucked up and now we're going to stick. Yeah, I think that is exactly the case.
But that was a submission clinic.
That was impressive. That was impressive. I mean, I'm not as down on Dana Brooke as everyone else.
I'm not. And I think, do you know what? She deserves a lot of fucking credit for that match because she sold Asuka, Azuka, whatever you want to call her, to be a fucking beast. I think Dana Brooke's got a good future. I mean,
I think she's got something. My personal opinion is she's the next big rivalry for Bayley. She's the one that takes the title of Bayley personally. That's how I would book it.
Yeah.
And then you then revisit the Dana Brooke Asuka rivalry after that.
Yeah. Yeah, completely. No, I fully agree with that.
We should probably wrap it up there, really, shouldn't we?
Yeah, we'll wrap up with that. What would you say, like, fuck it, we'll just do it. What would you say was the match of the night and the best wrestler on that show?
I would give the match of the night to Bayley and Sasha.
Yeah.
And I don't think you can decide between them on who was the best wrestler of the night. I mean, an honourable mention would have to go to Gable and Jordan, because I think they put... Oh, and... I didn't actually have a chance to talk about Corbin. I want to talk about Corbin. I quickly talk
yeah,
about
go for it. Yeah.
The shit he gets is complete bullshit. I cannot believe people are still slating him. I think he worked his arse off the other night.
Yeah.
I think he has improved quicker than anyone on the roster.
Yeah.
Main roster or NXT.
Yeah.
Right? I believe him as a proper badass heel. I believe that he is very believable as a character. Mm-hmm. I think that he has the potential to go all the way.
Yeah.
And that is my personal opinion.
Yeah.
All these people to slate him because he hasn't come from independence is complete horseshit.
It's the bullshit era we live in now, MB. It's like, oh, they have to come from independent first. But I think four months ago there was a valid argument against Corbin, but now there's no argument against him. It's the same as this year, there's no argument against Cena being a good wrestler. You've got no reason to dislike Cena other than you're sticking by your guns and not liking him for something he was doing 5 years ago.
Exactly. People are too stubborn. Yeah. Just realise things change. People can improve. People can change.
Yeah.
Right? Simple as that. But yeah, so I think the shout has to go to Corbin. I think he works his ass off in two matches really well. I think that Jordan and Gable look phenomenal and I can't wait to see them on the main roster.
Yeah.
And I would probably, but I would have to give it to, if I had to pick, if you put a gun to my head, Bailey was, no, Sasha was.
Yeah.
Sasha was. I think it's close, and that just shows how good they are. Both of them, like, it's so close between them. Mm. But Sasha, for her heel work in that match, was phenomenal.
Yeah. No, I'd agree with both of them points, and I'd definitely say like the honourable mention would easily go to Chad Gable and Jason Jordan, who I'm just going to refer to as JJ from now on. But no, it was a good night. I'm looking forward to the next special where I'm actually going to be there, which is ridiculous.
It's JJ quality.
You ain't going to be there, mate. But
yeah, it's frustrating, but yeah,
one of them things. I thought I'd play us out with Bailey's themes. It kind of seems appropriate as we've just spoken.
Valid. That's definitely valid. And we will be back with the next show, which will be the McMahons.
The McMahons.
We thought we'd combine them together.
Yeah.
And they will be going on the leaderboard together.
Yeah.
And we thought this would be a nice one to just gently get everyone back into. There's a few matches in there we liked. It was tough choosing the matches,
wasn't it? It was very tough.
To be fair.
But we'll
talk about that when we get round to it.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, obviously, on that note, I'm John Cooper.
I'm Steve Emerson.
And we'll see you next time.
See you later.
Right, all right, mate.